there's no better way to start the new year than for it to be on Sabbath. And, granted, it's not the first year, but it's the seventh, a very nice number, and it's the Sabbath, and it's communion. Yes, what a wonderful way to start the year. Because today, we will sit as a family of believers at our Lord's table. And these elements of which we're going to partake speak both simply and eloquently of the mission and the purpose of our Lord on the earth. One of the many facets of his life and ministry had to do with his own concept of his mission in regards to the will of his heavenly Father. And when Jesus spoke the words recorded in our scripture text today, he had come to a very lonely moment of his life. You know, Peter, James, and John, his, you might say, inner circle of his disciples had all gone to sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. They couldn't stay awake, even for that time, to watch and to pray with him, but his heavenly Father was near. And in this great high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus poured out his heart to his Father. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. One statement in his prayer stands out in particular, and that is in verse 4, where he says, "I have glorified thee on earth," he says to his Father. "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." What a statement. Because if Jesus had not accomplished what he's implying here, all else would be lost. Because God is glorified before man when man comes to know and reflect what God is like, who he is. And this was the first part of Jesus' mission on earth. Because when Jesus came, according to the Apostle Paul, in Colossians 2:9, he said, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In Jesus. God dwelt in a perfect, sinless human body, with human emotions, like you have, understandings, interactions. Jesus showed man God. And thus God was glorified in the person of his Son. His teachings brought to maturity the fulfillment, the perfection of the word of the law. He lived it out. And we find in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus laid down with unmistakable clarity just how his people are to live. He set forth the most difficult spiritual obstacle course imaginable in that sermon. In fact, the absolute only way that any of us can live that Sermon on the Mount is when the Spirit of Christ indwells in each and every believer. We yield to him as we die to self. And that's the interesting, perfect paradox of our faith, isn't it? Because life and victory come through defeat and death of self, and only that way. Because Jesus also glorified the Father not only through that reflection, but through the miracles he performed, didn't he? He overruled the known laws of nature. He walked on water. You know, to start with, there's many things he did. But and with that divine power, he healed many, many broken and diseased bodies. Yet Jesus never intended for his healing ministry to become an end in itself. It's mind-boggling, isn't it, to see and read how he went through cities, through towns, and when he left, there wasn't a sick soul there. Amazing. But yet, sometimes, God chooses to use physical infirmities and adversity as a means of refining our faith. And in such times of trial and testing, a Christian learns to concentrate on Christ more completely than we tend to do during the easy days. Sometimes God chooses to use those for our growth. Because in such times of trial and testing, we concentrate on Christ more completely. We connect with him more deeply. And while it's true we cannot always know the mind of God in these matters, when it is his will to exercise his miraculous power of healing, we give him all the praise. Amen? For he does so always to glorify himself, not man. And Jesus said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Reflect on that at the start of a new year and the close of the old one, personally. And I hope you will too. Reflect. Have you finished last year what God had called you to do? Or do you feel in your heart of hearts maybe there's something you've left undone, some connection you need, something you need, I don't know, that's between you and God. But it is a time of reflecting to see, how are we doing? Have we really finished what God gave us in 22? And rejoice we have 23 to keep working on it. Because Jesus could say he had finished that work completely in what he did. And on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. The work of the redemption that he had come to do was complete. He had endured the cross because there was set before him the joy of the completed task. Thus, the Bible indicates that Jesus found joy in this work assigned to him. But wow, you read his life? How could Jesus enjoy a mission or a task that was absolutely full of opposition and rejection, misunderstanding, downright cruelty? You know, he did so because of love for each and every one of you, everyone. He did so because of that love and have been one with the Father. He experienced from before the beginning the divine thrill of the plan of salvation. Before God laid the foundations of the world, he knew man would choose evil instead of righteousness. And because of that foreknowledge, he planned for humankind's salvation. Isn't that incredible love? I'm sure it broke the heart of God to watch man act out what God, in his omniscience, saw him do before he was even created. And yet he loved us so much, he would do what he needed to do to open the way back home for fallen man. This great plan of salvation had been conceived and incubated in the mind of God. It had been symbolized and typified in the Old Testament. But now it was actualized in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Indeed, it was a labor of love when Jesus finished the work that God had given him to do. You know, the miracle of God's grace ought to constantly announce to the world that Christ lives within us, every Christian believer. Because Jesus said to his disciples, and I know he said it to us just as well, he says, ye are the light of the world. That means you are all the light of the world. So God has called us to do. That is our work, to reflect God's character so indwelled within our very spirit, within who we are, to have Christ's character in us so that that light shines forth and glorifies the Father as Jesus. Because friends, a flickering light of an inconsistent Christian testimony can be disastrously misleading to one who's trying to find the way. We want to have our light strong and steady. And what glorious anticipation we can have to be able to say at the end of life's day, Father, I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Paul was able to say it, right? He said, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. What a beautiful testimony. I pray that will all be ours. Because that should be our heart's desire, friends. That should be the most important thing and goal that we have at the start here of a new year. To have that relationship with Christ that is so deep and so pure every moment of every day, that his character dwells within us. And out of that comes that love that is the basis for everything in your relationship with everyone around you. Because then you glorify the Father. Do you want to glorify the Father this year? Amen. As we partake of these blessed emblems today, let's remember our Lord's life and the work that he did from Bethlehem to Calvary. He fulfilled the purpose of his Heavenly Father. And we are all called to the same work. To not for salvation, don't misunderstand me. What I mean is we are called to glorify the Father. Because he wants each and every one of us to have that relationship that is so tight and so glorious that we glorify him through who we are. Not just what we do or say, but who we are. Because the purpose is to glorify the Father and for Jesus to finish the work that God gave him to do. And to Jesus, that was a pure labor of love. And so should it be for each of us. It should be the joy of our life. May our lives this year glorify the Father. So let us, during these sacred moments, commit ourselves anew at the start of this new year to glorify our Lord and Savior through our lives, coming from the heart so connected with God, it's automatic. Satan can never defeat you if God is in your heart and dwelling within your life. And we may stumble and fall, but Christ there will pick us up if we're connected. We thank you, Lord, you're so forgiving, that you're long-suffering, that you're patient, that you never give up on us, that you will always provide what we need so that temptation will not gain advantage over you. And through him is the only way, the only way. So as we now separate to our service of the foot washing to be like Jesus, to serve one another, we will separate now and go. If you would like to join us, Seventh-day Adventists do believe in open communion, meaning you don't have to be a church member to join, but if you've given your heart to Jesus and you would like to partake of this beautiful service and be drawn closer to him, you are free to join us. If you'd care not, just be seated, and we will be right back for the rest of our service. So God bless you as we join him. Thank you. Do you have joy in your heart? Let's see it on your face. We have so much to be happy for. We've been so blessed. We're here. We pray for those that can't be here. We miss them. And we hope the Lord brings them all back safe. But our church family is not complete until it's complete. So we keep them in our hearts. But what a wonderful time to come together. The first of the year is my favorite communion. It just seems like such an appropriate refreshing for a new start, new commitment, a time of reflection. The past year. Our relationship with God, maybe our struggles, our questions. God knows. He understands. He accepts us wherever we are, with whatever history we have, whatever struggles we have. But he longs to be such a part of our lives that he will lift us up. He will answer our prayers. He will give us strength. He will lead us step by step, each individually, on our own path towards his kingdom. And all because of the gift that Jesus has given us. Praise God. Praise God. So as we begin, I believe David reads scripture and have a prayer of a blessing on the bread.
The scripture is 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to get a clear glimpse of your broken body on the cross, Lord, and to realize what price was paid for each and every one of us. Each time that we eat bread this coming year, may we also think of you in a very special way. And thank you, Lord, for dying on that cross for us and giving us such an example. Mm. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
And I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, talking to someone this morning who had lost a son, it's hard to imagine. Some of us lost sons and some daughters, family members. But because of the blood, Heavenly Father, that Jesus shed for us, when we get up there to heaven, we'll hear those words, "Dad, I'm over here. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Someday we can live." In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Christ was standing at the point of transition between two economies and their two great festivals. He, the spotless Lamb of God, was about to present himself as a sin offering, and he would thus bring to an end the system of types and ceremonies that for 4,000 years had pointed to his death. As he ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in its place the service that was to be the memorial of his great sacrifice. The national festival of the Jews was to pass away forever. The service which Christ established was to be observed by his followers in all lands and through all ages. For the Passover was ordained as a commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And God had directed that year by year as the children should ask the meaning of this ordinance, the history should be repeated. Thus the wonderful deliverance was to be kept fresh in the minds of all. But the ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given to commemorate the great deliverance wrought out as the result of the death of Christ. Till he shall come the second time in power and glory, this ordinance is to be celebrated. It is the means by which his great work for us is to be kept fresh in mind. Christ is still at the table on which the Paschal Supper has been spread. The unleavened cakes used at the Passover season are before him. The Passover wine, untouched by fermentation, is on the table. These emblems Christ employs to represent his own unblemished sacrifice. Nothing corrupted by fermentation, the symbol of sin and death, could represent the Lamb without blemish and without spot. For as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it, and break it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Do you love grape juice? One of my favorites. But you know, I can't wait, by God's grace, to sit at that table and look miles down, where all the redeemed will be set, when Jesus will bring forth grape juice from heaven. Can you imagine what that must taste like? I can't, but I can't wait for it, to see what, when Jesus, once again, this emblem of his blood, his full circle has come to completion, his redeemed are with him. This is why he died, for us to be with him again and forever. And to raise that glass and to drink that heavenly grape juice. I don't want any of you missing. By God's grace, we'll all be there, and our families, and our loved ones. And may his light so shine before the world through his character and dwelling in us that others will be drawn to that marriage supper with the Lamb. It may be the joy of our hearts that I can't imagine. I can't even explain. I don't think we can until we get there. To know what it will be like to sit at the table with Jesus at the head. I can imagine him raising that glass and we can drink together, home again, home at last. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body." And he said, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." The communion service is not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not its purpose. As the Lord's disciples gather about his table, they are not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They're not to dwell upon their past religious experience, whether that experience has been elevating or depressing. They're not to recall the differences between them and their brethren, for the preparatory service has embraced all of this. The self-examination, confession of sin, the reconciling of differences has all been done. For now they came to meet Jesus Christ. They're not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They're to open the soul to the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness, and with hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, in full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, they are to hear his words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14:27. So it's my prayer for all of you that you will have the peace of Jesus Christ as we start 2023, and may it carry you through the year, whatever may come, that we may have that saving, abiding, living, loving relationship that indwells in our heart, that comes forth where we love each other in the same way that Jesus does. And if there's anything else that has spot or wrinkle in there, I pray God, by his Spirit and his power, he will grow all of us through that, so that by the end of the year we can say, as we meet again with him, "Lord, I have finished the work you've given me to do this year." So we should be joyous. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent and yet rejoice, for our Redeemer liveth. At the close of the service on the way out, we have Good Samaritan offering on the way out. And also, if I can remind you, if you care to join us for Wednesday night, to let us know if you plan on attending so we can make sure we have study guides ordered for you. Sign up out there. If you have any questions, please let me know. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come together and to sit at your table, to partake of these emblems that you consecrated so long ago, to bring to life anew in our hearts the great sacrifice that you gave for us. For Father, without that sacrifice, all is in vain. And yet we have the privilege of looking back on a task that you completed. And because you did, for the joy that was set before you, for the joy of your people who have freely chosen to follow you and give their lives to you and consecrate them to you and allow your power to work in our lives, so that we continue to grow and be changed, so that we reflect your character. Lord, you dwell in us as you created us originally. And Father, may that glory shine out, not for us, but may it reflect the glory of the Father and of Jesus. And it will be so attractive to those who have seen it to know that we have been with God, that we can open up our Bibles and lead others to know the saving relationship that you so long for everyone to know. So Lord, comfort those who are sorrowing. Strengthen those who are weak. Humble those who are proud. Father, do whatever you need to do in each of our lives to bring us into harmony with that great and glorious purpose that Jesus came and died for us to complete. And Lord, as you gather your people soon to take us all home, we gladly cast our crowns at your feet, for you and you alone are worthy in all. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in our lives. We go forth praising you. God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.